This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
You're a small to mid-sized business with 300 to 3,000 employees. You face the same network security challenges as big businesses do, but can't support a big IT investment, leaving your doors open to advanced cyber threats. Barracuda Next Generation Firewalls provide all the core features of enterprise firewalls and UTMs, but without hidden costs and deployment hurdles, making owning a big business firewall no big deal for your SMB. Reclaim your network. Try a Barracuda Next Gen Firewall risk-free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Four charges of second-degree murder. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Monday, October 26th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
A woman accused of barreling her car into a homecoming parade at Oklahoma State University is facing upgraded charges. Her attorney says she wasn't drunk. You'll hear his theory.
Five people have been killed and another is missing after a whale-watching boat capsized off the coast of British Columbia.
Minnesota Timberwolves head coach Flip Saunders has died from cancer. He was 60.
And on the tech front this morning, the researchers who say they've discovered the perfect password.
These passwords, in part because they're so long and they're truly random. I mean, they choose every word on a totally random basis. The researchers say at current speeds that it would take a computer program around 5 million years to hack.
Anna Swanson at the Washington Post explains the new way to create the perfect password and remember it. She's here in about 20 minutes. The suspect in a car crash that killed four people and wounded nearly 50 at Oklahoma State University's homecoming parade on Saturday faces four charges now of second-degree murder. Police in Stillwater say the driver, 25-year-old Adacia Chambers, was initially arrested and detained on suspicion of driving under the influence. Authorities yesterday said they added four charges of second-degree murder. The attorney representing Ms. Chambers, Tony Coleman, said yesterday that he believed mental illness, not intoxication, caused the crash.
There was a period where I think that, for a better lack of term, she could have even blacked out. She only remembers, from what was communicated with me, the end of the crash, people removing her from the car, shards of glass being everywhere.
Authorities say the car was not part of the homecoming parade and that Ms. Chambers drove her Hyundai Elantra through several barriers and hit a parked police motorcycle before careening into the crowd. Three adults and a two-year-old boy were killed, and at least 46 others were hurt, including at least four critically injured. Hospitals initially said five were critically injured, but yesterday one of those was upgraded to fair condition. Canadian authorities are trying to figure out why a whale-watching boat capsized on the West Coast with deadly results. Five people killed, another person remained missing after the 65-foot Leviathan II capsized yesterday afternoon with 27 people on board. There were 21 others rescued. The vessel made a mayday call shortly before 4 o'clock Pacific time near Tofino, British Columbia. The partially submerged boat was eventually located 8 nautical miles west of Tofino, a town of about 1,800 people located 175 miles west of Vancouver. Betsy Trumpener is a correspondent for the CBC.
It's quite distressing and unusual to hear a boat like this capsizing in what were considered to be calm seas on a pretty nice day.
The ship that went down was operated by a company called Jamie's Whaling Station. There's no indication that Clayoquot Sound, by the way, was rough yesterday near Vargas Island. It's not the first deadly incident for the company either. 17 years ago, one of its vessels capsized during an excursion, sending all four people on board into the water. The operator and a passenger died. To politics now, there are new polls that show retired neurosurgeon Ben Carson running ahead of businessman Donald Trump in Iowa, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma in the Republican presidential primary. With that picture unfolding, Mr. Trump in recent days has turned up his rhetorical heat, even appearing to jab at Mr. Carson's religion. On Saturday, at a rally in Jacksonville, Florida, Mr. Trump told supporters that he was a Presbyterian and then seemed to question Mr. Carson's beliefs.
I just really don't know about the Seventh-day Adventist. I just, you know, and that's what I said.
He was on ABC's This Week yesterday, sort of walking back Saturday's comments. Mr. Trump's attacks on Mr. Carson come as new polls show Mr. Carson surging in Iowa. Mr. Carson, meanwhile, was on NBC's Meet the Press, where he compared abortion to slavery.
Ultimately, I would love to see it overturned. I'm a reasonable person, and if people can come up with a reasonable explanation of why they would like to kill a baby, I'll listen.
Said he would like to see Roe versus Wade overturned. Mr. Carson and Mr. Trump, by the way, will meet face-to-face in 2 days for the next Republican debate at the University of Colorado. While Mr. Trump has dropped into second in Iowa, he does remain the GOP frontrunner in national polls and in other states. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You always want to look great, but don't have the time or the patience to go shopping. With Trunk Club, you never have to set foot in the mall again. Trunk Club takes the hassle out of shopping by shipping you a trunk of clothes that fit perfectly and make you look like $1 million with all the new fall styles. At trunkclub.com/morning, all you have to do is answer simple questions about your style, preferences, and size, and then you are assigned an expert stylist. They curate clothes from the best premium brands, and you approve what you like. Just like that, a trunk arrives on your doorstep filled with hand-picked clothes that are perfect for you. Try them on, keep what you like, and easily return what you don't in their prepaid trunk. This is not a subscription service. You only pay for the clothes you keep. No hidden charges, just great clothes. And right now, their entire styling service is free. Even the shipping. You only pay for the clothes you keep. To take advantage, go to trunkclub.com/morning. One more time, that's trunkclub.com/morning for a trunk filled with clothes you'll love wearing. Thanks for being with us. House and Ways Committee Chairman Paul Ryan of Wisconsin is likely to ascend to the job of Speaker later this week. What's this mean for how the chamber will be governed? Wall Street Journal reporter Richard Rubin says, generally speaking, Republicans love working with Mr. Ryan and Democrats respect him. Rich, give us some insight.
When you look at the way he operates, the way he's operated as Budget Committee Chairman, the way he's operated as Ways and Means Committee Chairman, these are the strengths that he brings. He knows what he's talking about, and you hear Democrats and Republicans say that. They may disagree with his positions, but that he generally understands the subject matter, and that he's easy to talk to. And so those are the two edges he's gotten going into the speakership, where he's got to be able to work with people all across the spectrum of the Republican Party, which is a pretty broad and pretty factionalized group right now.
Yeah. I got a chuckle out of the one line in your story where you're talking about New York Congressman Charles Rangel, who's been in office since Mr. Ryan was an infant, who says, Ryan's a nice guy who lets Democrats talk before voting down their ideas.
Right, and he was actually comparing him to a former Ways and Means Chairman, Bill Thomas of California, who didn't necessarily do that. That was actually a compliment, if you can believe it. He's saying that, you know, that he's easy to talk to. He's allows some back and forth, not necessarily input on the substance, but at least can talk to people. And it's hard to find Democrats who find him personally objectionable or personally difficult to talk to. They just vehemently disagree with his policies.
Was that the case with the outgoing Speaker John Boehner? He was not easy to talk to?
No, not necessarily. I think Democrats found Boehner easy to talk to. I think the people who Boehner frustrated were some members of his own party who, you know, even if they found him easy to talk to, you know, didn't necessarily agree with his approach to compromise. And Ryan is going to face that exact same situation. So he's got this reservoir of goodwill that he's built up during the years that he's been in Congress, and he's going to have to start depleting it almost immediately.
Yeah. We're speaking with Richard Rubin, tax policy reporter at The Wall Street Journal. His piece is called Paul Ryan Brings Wonky, Approachable Style to his what will be likely his new position as House Speaker. You point out that at Ways and Means, Mr. Ryan has made some bipartisan progress on his priorities. Like what?
So the big one this year, this big achievement, is getting to the Fast Track Trade Promotion Authority through the House by a 8-10 vote margin. You know, that's an issue where there's some Republican skepticism, even from a party that's typically free trade, because you know, of concerns about China, concerns about home state industries, concerns about agriculture. And so he really, you know, went group by group, small member group by small member group, and sold that thing to get just enough votes, because there were only a handful of Democrats who were willing to come with them. So it's that But it was a bipartisan thing, and he worked very closely with the Obama administration on that.
Okay. I wanted to ask you, too, you said what Mr. Ryan has not been able to do is build enough support for one of his top goals, a major revamp of the tax code.
Look, tax reform is hard. The joke I make, and I'll keep making it, is that my job is for a long time now has been to cover the Tax Reform Act of next year, and that's where Ryan has been too.
Okay.
There's, you know, you've got lots of competing constituencies. It matters to everybody, and the fact that he's been unable to make much progress makes him no different than any of the past five or six Ways and Means chairman.
Thanks, Rich. Wall Street Journal reporter Richard Rubin. It's 20 minutes after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a major earthquake has struck northeastern Afghanistan, shaking the capital Kabul and sending shockwaves that were felt in North India and Pakistan. The U.S. Geological Survey measured the quake's intensity at 7.5. Buildings shook violently in Kabul and for well over a minute in the Indian capital of New Delhi. Early reports indicate at least four people were killed in Pakistan and scores injured. At least five people have died after a whale-watching boat with 27 people on board sank off Vancouver Island yesterday. The vessel made a major day call late yesterday afternoon on what was a clear and sunny day in the tourist community that's a popular destination for whale watchers on Canada's west coast. The partially submerged boat was eventually located 8 nautical miles west of Tofino, a town located 175 miles west of Vancouver. 18 people were taken to area hospitals. 16 minutes before a strike authorization was to go into effect at midnight, the UAW and GM reached a proposed tentative agreement on a new contract. Now, the UAW says it's going to put the deal before the union's national council on Wednesday. If approved there, it could go to 52,500 GM workers represented by the UAW for a vote. Minnesota Timberwolves coach Flip Saunders, who influenced the team in almost every way as its top executive and part owner, died yesterday at the age of 60. Saunders announced in August that he had been diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, which his doctors said was treatable. But on Friday, the Timberwolves announced he would miss the entire season. Saunders also coached the Detroit Pistons and Washington Wizards over a 17-year NBA career. For the first time in franchise history, the Carolina Panthers are 6-0 after downing the Eagles last night, 27-16.
Tight splits, I-backs. Fake to Stewart. Tolbert's open, right flat. Makes the catch. Gets hit, keeps his balance. Fighting at the 3, the 2, the 1. Right pylon. Did he get in yet? Touchdown!
Mick Mixon with a call on WBT. The Patriots also remain undefeated with a 30-23 win over the Jets. And the other undefeated teams, the Bengals, Packers, and Broncos, all had a bye week.
You said the Carolina Panthers are undefeated, right? So we have that right?
Cam Newton.
6-0.
He is playing very well.
Break up the Panthers. 22 minutes now after the hour on this morning, America's First News. Time now for a technology update, and it's brought to you by BASF. Through science and sustainable innovation, BASF enables its customers to meet the current and future needs of society. BASF, we create chemistry. How about you like a perfectly secure password that's easy to remember? Sounds impossible these days, right? But Anna Swanson, writer for the Wonk blog at the Washington Post, says researchers have developed a winning formula. Anna, what have they come up with?
So these two researchers at the University of Southern California have basically said that we've been doing passwords all wrong. They came up with a really novel solution for creating passwords that is both extremely hard for hackers to crack, and it's also relatively easy for you to remember. And their idea is to create these randomly generated poems. So these poems are kind of funny. They're just random little words. For example, one would be receiver Matthew Halloween deliver cousin magazine. Or another would be competing Holy Hemingway complies American ballet.
Jeez.
So you can see that they're short and they rhyme and they're using meter, but they really have kind of no meaning at all.
Right. Okay. So I guess my first thing is some of these passwords, right? Minimum 6, maximum 12 characters or something like that. What do they do in that situation?
Right. So that is an issue. I mean, a lot of sites right now only give you a certain number of characters to create your password in. And that's actually not a very good security practice. It's actually much more secure if you can do longer passwords. So this is probably something that you'll only be able to use on some sites now. Maybe okay. More sites in the future will adopt that practice.
Well, we're speaking with Anna Swanson. She's a writer for Wonk Blog at the Washington Post. And we're talking about her piece about these researchers coming up with what they call the perfect password that's also easy to remember. All right, so what do the experts say about the security of something like this?
So these passwords are actually incredibly secure. I mean, compared to the password that you would normally pick, for example, you know, one or two words from the dictionary, maybe some numbers thrown in, that password might take, you know, hackers just a matter of maybe a few seconds, a few minutes, or a few hours to crack. But these passwords, in part because they're so long and they're truly random, I mean, they choose every word on a totally random basis. The researchers say at current speeds that it would take a computer program around 5 million years to hack.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. So by that point, you know, no one is really going to be interested in your Facebook password.
Right. So that said, I remember reading one time that a security expert said you should not be using words that appear in the dictionary either. But is the exception here because they're sort of strung together with no real meaning to them?
Yeah, so it's actually kind of a form of cryptography. So what they basically do is they generate one very long random number, and then they break that random number up into kind of smaller random numbers. And they've taken each word from the dictionary, about 300,000 words, and they've assigned each of those words a distinct code. So when they break up the number into those little pieces, they then kind of check up what that other word is. And so because of that fact, it's very difficult to crack. So in this case, they're combining, you know, maybe 6 to 8 small random words, and that's much more secure than just choosing a couple words from the dictionary.
Thanks, Anna. Anna Swanson, writer for Wonk Blog at The Washington Post. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
In 2001, Vonage revolutionized home phone service with voice over internet. After such a colossal breakthrough, who would have objected if Vonage said, "Enjoy better, world. Vonage will be spending some me time at the spa." But the thing about better is, there's always more better. So today, Vonage is not at the spa having its trouble area worked on by a masseuse named Moonshadow, but with its nose to the grindstone, transforming communications for your business by making it better. With a cloud-based infrastructure that grows as your business grows, seamless mobility between all devices so you don't miss that important call, even while Moonshadow is walking down your spine. And all for less than you think. So while you're getting your mani-pedi, Vonage's toenails remain a complete disaster, because Vonage is still out there working to make more better. See how your business can get the better it deserves. Call Vonage at 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us on this Monday, October 26th. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Kashenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: a 7.5 magnitude earthquake strikes Afghanistan. Second-degree murder charges for a woman suspected of plowing into a homecoming parade at Oklahoma State University. 5 dead and 1 missing after a whale-watching boat capsized off British Columbia. Louisiana braces for the heavy rain that flooded parts of Texas over the weekend. Microsoft opens a flagship store in New York City today. And stories trying to be news: Adele's video views, what Chloe said to Lamar, and Jimmy Fallon falls again. Some economic observers feel that with sales and profits falling at Walmart, the economy may be headed south again. But University of Maryland business professor and economist Peter Morisi says that's not the case. It's just that Walmart is being squeezed by better competitors, and it's not the only one. Peter, what's up?
Well, essentially, Walmart and IBM are in a lot of trouble. Declining revenues, declining profits, declining market share. And a lot of folks have asked me, are we going through another recession? I don't think so. I think what's more likely happening is these companies are being replaced by others. And this time, it's not Toyota replacing General Motors, but new American companies replacing old ones. I mean, it's sort of cliche to say that Walmart's got problems from the web, but it's not just Walmart. It's Walmart, Target, Dollar Store, all the low-end retailers. You can simply get stuff off of Amazon Prime for less money because they don't have a supply chain at all.
Mm.
Instead of being efficient, you go right. They set you right up with the manufacturer, so it's shipped direct. With IBM, it's the same thing. A lot of services they once provided are on the cloud. They're cheaper, and there's bigger variety and a lot more opportunities. IBM has simply missed it. And again, companies like Amazon Web Services, Juniper, Equinix, Red Hat, guess what? They're American companies too. The story repeats itself, you know, with people like Twitter and Facebook creating America's, turning America's town square into a global village. It's quite profound what's happening. And it's in a lot of ways, it's great news for the U.S. economy.
Walmart has blamed the increase in pay, right? Minimum pay?
Well, they have. It's a problem for them. They're now going to pay a whopping $9 an hour. Guess what? At their low wages, they can't provide decent service. When you go into the stores, they're messy. The clerks are unfriendly.
Yeah.
You know, it's very much like what you get when you go to McDonald's, for example. You know, you get very low-end personnel. Not so much from corporate stores, but from the franchisees who, you know, kind of run their operations like plantations.
We're speaking with University of Maryland business professor Peter Morisi. His piece is entitled Troubles at Walmart, IBM, and the New American Century. All right, so how might a Walmart or an IBM respond here? Because I guess, based on what you said, they've been slow to do so.
Well, I think IBM needs new leadership. Ginni McGinty is very, very much enamored with the fact that she's a CEO. You know, recently in a Wall Street Journal, you know, piece that was devoted to her, she says, you know, I prepared my whole life to be a CEO. Oh, golly, great. Have you prepared at all for redirecting IBM? She's moving them onto the web, but on the web, they're not prime. In the old days, you know, they had the best mainframe and they had the best electric typewriter. And so their representative was in your office selling you stuff.
Okay.
Now, it's not. And if you look at, for example, Amazon Web Services, when you go there, you can get software and business services sold by other companies. When you go to IBM, when IBM comes into your office, you know what Big Blue wants to sell you? Lotus Notes, which periodically breaks down.
So are these companies going to make those types of changes with the current leadership, do you think?
Well, let's go back to Subway. Do you remember when Subway went from being fast food to health food?
Yeah, yeah.
With the overweight fireman who lost all that weight? I think that Walmart could emphasize value and high-quality products. Higher quality products than it does in its food section and use that to draw people in. But they can't try to be on every corner and sell everything under the sun because some things they can't sell well. For example, you're nuts if you buy a bicycle at a Walmart, for example, or a Target, because after you own one of those things 30 to 60 days, you have to get them adjusted. And they just don't have people to do that. There are things they can sell, but they're going to have to rethink what they sell and likely be smaller. One thing for sure, Walmart is no longer a growth company.
Nice, Peter. Peter Morisi, University of Maryland business professor and economist. 21 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, three of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. So go to harrys.com right now and enter code 7799 at checkout. Code 7799.
Thanks for being with us. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, say what you want about Tom Brady, Gordon, and I'm sure you have a few things to say, whether you're on Team Tom or you think he's nothing more than a ball-deflating cheat, we know for certain that Brady is good at three things: throwing touchdowns, winning football games, and trolling opponents on social media. On Saturday before yesterday's big game against the Jets, Brady posted a photoshopped image of himself on Facebook, complete with game day eye black, dressed as an air traffic controller, pointing towards a plane that appears to be landing with the Jets logo on it. The caption reads, "Who's ready to make Gillette Stadium a no-fly zone?" Despite some tense moments, Brady and the Pats were able to pull out a 30-23 win over the Jets to remain unbeaten so far this season.
Mm.
You know, I'm no big Brady fan myself.
Okay.
I mean, we know your feelings on the subject. I'm no big fan myself. But I actually, just after reading this story, liked his Facebook page because he does a lot of funny things
does
on
he really?
Social media. Yeah, if it's whether it's him or he has a team that does it. But
right.
somebody is doing a really good job for him on social media.
Dumping pregnant girlfriends. I mean, there's a, you know. Lots of reasons you can like Tom Brady.
The list goes on and on, Gordon.
No, listen, I'm not a Brady hater. Like that's too much energy to be that hateful.
Right, right.
He's just, you know, he plays for the rival team,
yep.
So I don't support him.
Yes.
He's an unbelievable competitor and a winner.
and it just never stops. 15 years in running here, and it's just never stopped.
Exactly. On a football note, by the way. Speaking of beautiful women, say, from television that maybe Brady has associated with, not this one, but yesterday, tying football and beautiful women together.
Yes.
I got to announce Mariska Hargitay.
Oh.
Three times.
Very nice.
At MetLife Stadium. It's pretty good. That was one of the highlights, in addition to a Giants victory.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're not really caring so much about the game, so that's going to be your highlight.
I wanted to call her up over the public address system to come up into the booth and hang out for a little while, but I thought better of it.
Yeah, probably a good idea. And if you're living in Dubai, Gordon, and you think that it may not be all that it's cracked up to be prepared for a call from the police to ask you why. Officials in Dubai are trying to break into the top 10 rankings of world's happiest cities by 2021, so they posted an online poll asking citizens how they feel about the Emirate. You can choose between a frown, a smile, or an unimpressed straight line. Be careful how you show your displeasure, though, as police say they will call some of those who say that they are unhappy. The police say the survey has received more than 200,000 responses in its first day, and not surprisingly, 84% of the respondents said they were happy.
Wow.
Now, while getting a call from the cops for your survey answer can seem a little intimidating, it appears that the outreach is meant to help solve the problems of disgruntled residents, not to make them change their mind. The United Arab Emirates is ranked number 20 out of 158 countries surveyed in the United Nations 2015 World Happiness Report.
Ah, that's sort of like Vladimir Putin receiving 99% of the vote.
Right.
Just amazing how people just feel so free to express their views about politicians and such stuff.
Yeah, I'm not going to make you try and sway your vote. They just want to find out what's going on.
Right.
How you doing? How are things?
What's that knock on the door?
Right, exactly.
Somebody needs to change their vote. That's sort of along the lines of firings will continue until morale improves
right.
at the office. Yeah. Thank you, Mike. 14 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Good Monday morning. Have you kept your kid from playing youth football out of concern for head and neck injuries? Well, you're not alone, of course, but a new policy statement on youth football from the American Academy of Pediatrics may soften your stance when it comes to injuries. New guidelines call for coaches to teach young athletes proper tackling techniques as well as ways to safely absorb tackles. They also want officials and coaches to enforce a zero-tolerance policy toward illegal head-first hits. Other recommendations include an expansion of non-tackling football, such as flag football leagues. It's 8 minutes now before the hour. On This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a powerful earthquake measured at magnitude 7.5 jolted Pakistan, Afghanistan, and parts of India this morning. There are reports of casualties and destruction, but with communication cut off in many areas, the extent of the damage is hard to determine. Power was cut across much of the Afghan capital, where tremors were felt for about 45 seconds. Houses shook, walls cracked, and cars rolled into the street. The woman accused of driving a car into a crowd of people at an Oklahoma State University homecoming parade is set to make her first court appearance today. Adesha Chambers was arrested on suspicion of driving while under the influence after the Saturday crash that killed 4 people and injured dozens more. But police are awaiting blood tests to determine whether Chambers was impaired by drugs or alcohol. Another 100,000 spaces in refugee reception centers will be created under a deal agreed to by European leaders at an emergency summit in Brussels. The heads of 11 EU states and 3 non-EU countries met to discuss how to handle growing numbers of migrants. More than 9,000 migrants arrived in Greece every day last week, the highest rate so far this year. Under the deal, Greece will open reception centers with enough room for 30,000 migrants by the end of the year. Republican presidential candidate Ben Carson says he would love to see Roe versus Wade overturned, making abortion illegal nationwide with almost no exemptions. Carson appeared yesterday on NBC's Meet the Press.
Ultimately, I would love to see it overturned. I'm a reasonable person, and if people can come up with a reasonable explanation of why they would like to kill a baby, I'll listen.
Carson added that he thinks his past controversial comments have become flashpoints because they resonate with people who aren't really thinking deeply. And someone might want to wrap Jimmy Fallon in bubble wrap. The Tonight Show host, who's had a string of mishaps, suffered yet another one over the weekend when he tripped and fell at an event in Harvard. Fallon fell onto broken glass, injuring his right hand. 4 months ago, Fallon needed emergency surgery to save one of his fingers on his left hand.
going on with him?
I don't know.
It's klutz?
I don't know. He fell right onto a glass.
It's unbelievable.
It is.
You have to fall pretty precisely.
Yes.
Right, to fall on broken glass.
Yes.
Was it a Jägermeister bottle, too? It looked like an Instagram photo, if it was real. Showed it to be a Jägermeister bottle. Not necessarily his, just the one he fell on. 6 minutes now in front of the hour.
In 2001, Vonage revolutionized home phone service, making it better. After such a colossal breakthrough, who would have objected if Vonage said, "Enjoy better, world. Vonage will be at the spa." But today, Vonage is not at the spa having its trouble area worked on, but transforming communications for your business with award-winning cloud-based solutions. See how your business can get the better it deserves. Call 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.
Thanks for being with us. So try to square this. At the gravesite of communist Karl Marx, who did not believe in private property, you have to pay about a $6 fee to enter. At the Highgate Cemetery in London, many Marxists find it appalling. But the Wall Street Journal says the charity that looks after the cemetery has long taken swipe at a different irony. Karl Marx's decision to buy a burial plot in a private London graveyard over the then state-provided alternatives. They say their cover fee subsidies help with the upkeep of a cemetery where 170,000 other people rest. Highgate opened in 1839 to relieve the city's teeming graveyards, but as the cemetery reached capacity, Highgate's income stream dried up. For most visitors, today's fee is a justified expense to help pay for the upkeep. Not even all Marxists are against the fee, by the way. That includes the guy who's the head of the Marx Memorial Library and workers. He said Marx believed that labor should be rewarded. He didn't believe that you could achieve a classless society simply by refusing to pay for things. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning.
In 2001, Vonage revolutionized home phone service with voice over internet. After such a colossal breakthrough, who would have objected if Vonage said, "Enjoy better, world. Vonage will be spending some me time at the spa." But the thing about better is, there's always more better. So today, Vonage is not at the spa having its trouble area worked on by a masseuse named Moonshadow, but with its nose to the grindstone, transforming communications for your business by making it better. With a cloud-based infrastructure that grows as your business grows, seamless mobility between all devices so you don't miss that important call, even while Moonshadow is walking down your spine. And all for less than you think. So while you're getting your mani-pedi, Vonage's toenails remain a complete disaster, because Vonage is still out there working to make more better. See how your business can get the better it deserves. Call Vonage at 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.
Hey, thanks for listening. If you love our show, we'd love it if you took a few minutes to give us a review on iTunes. And while you're at it, make sure you like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter with the handle @ThisMorningShow.